So our text is from our Old Testament, reading from Genesis chapter 1, these words, "And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, strange as it may seem, the question seems to be up in the air nowadays as to whether or not the creation is good. The planet Earth and all the trees and plants, the animals and birds and fish are good. That man himself is good. Certainly it seems that there are voices nowadays that say that this is far from the case. It's better not to have been born. Instead of being born into this life. But having been born, we obviously have been born into nothing good. Instead, we have found ourselves faced daily with repression and injustice and cynicism and greed. And furthermore, we have discovered that life itself is nothing but a Darwinian existence, the survival of the fittest, where only the strongest make it or would make it. That is, the strongest, they would come out on top if life itself were not so fundamentally unjust. So it's not the strongest who come out on top, but those who have access to some sort of power to be wielded to keep everyone else under their thumb. The whole thing, life itself, is rigged, so such thinking, skewed, manipulated, controlled by someone or a group of someone's or a culture of someone's. Life good? Existence good? The creation good? Hardly. But our text says, God himself says to us, that which he made, the creation, is good. And it really, really is hard not to see that side of life. That is, that it's good. One beautiful sunrise is all it takes. The aroma of a freshly baked loaf of bread, or even the sight of an eagle soaring high above us in the sky. I spent some time in the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. one afternoon, the Museum of Art there, and my question was whether the paintings on display, paintings that I'd already seen in a book, Impressionist paintings, were any more beautiful in person than they had been in that book, and I was somewhat surprised to learn that they were. And I don't know why, save to think that the impression was to be one that a human being actually had been given the skill and talent to create such things of beauty with just a brush and a little bit of paint and a canvas. And why can't we grasp the wonder of that, the goodness of that, even the divinity of that? We drive amazing vehicles, have use of incredible technologies, mind-blowing technologies even. Back in August, for example, and I've shared this story with some of you. Back in August, I was on the tarmac in Buenos Aires in an airplane about to take off to return home here. I'm over 6,000 miles away on the other side of the equator, and my phone rings. It's my neighbor across the street here in Spring Lake Park. Well, I let it go to voicemail, and then I read the voicemail because that's what you can do with a phone. And it turned out he was stuck at Target with a dead battery and needed a ride. So I texted Christy to get a hold of him, and things were taken care of. From Buenos Aires, 6,000 miles away. Thinking about that, how that could even occur, still blows my mind. Then, of course, I spent 10 hours at 35,000 feet flying at 600 miles an hour to get to Atlanta. Unbelievable, really? The creation not good? So how to understand then such horrific, and they are horrific, understandings of our existence, which are among us nowadays? Well, bear with me here. I'll try to explain it. When I was a kid, it was not unheard of for someone to want to sell their brand new car and sell their brand new car because they found a scratch on it. Remember that? I mean, that was back in the day when the finishes of cars were not what they are now, and guys would spend a lot of time washing and then waxing their cars and buffing them, and the better the finish, so it seemed, the better the car, the newer the car. But if that new car was discovered to have a scratch, just a scratch, well, for all intents and purposes, it was ruined. The idea, perfect is good, imperfect is bad. And there used to be the thought that perfection was achievable in all sorts of aspects of life, but over time we've discovered that that just isn't so. Everything is imperfect in some way. Everything is scratched, so to speak. And so everything is worthless, it can be concluded. I mean, how bad was it even back in the day when a scratch could be repaired so that it wasn't even seeable, and yet that car disposed of because of the thought, just the thought, that it had been scratched? What was the thinking then? And what is it now? The thought that since the creation itself is imperfect, it's scratched. It's not good at all. Of course, the cars back in the day were still amazing, still beautiful, still incredible vehicles that looked good and lasted for years. And all of the imperfections that we have learned to live with in almost every aspect of life, really, they're of little or no consequence. And yet, the goodness of so much, of almost everything in creation, remains hard nowadays to confess. Why? Too many scratches. Too many scratches. And why the scratches? Well, because creation itself is infected with sin. So when man fell into sin, the curse that followed did not simply affect man, that is Adam and Eve, it affected all of creation. It affected the plants and the trees and the birds and the fish, the animals and even the insects. So the Apostle Paul would later note that the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now notice that the creation doesn't cease to be good because of the curse, but it's a creation subject to futility, that is, to bondage and decay. But that bondage and decay, the scratch and the dent, they don't define the creation itself. So yes, amongst the animals, there is most definitely a Darwinian survival of the fittest, but every animal, every creature in the chain of survival, from the insect through the rodent to the smaller creatures to the larger animals, all are incredible works, wonderful works created by God. Things that are good that are nonetheless subject to frustration, to change and decay. And so man, our same situation. So why then do we spend our lives focusing on these scratches? Well, the answer is in our epistle reading, where our life in Christ as Christians is described as a battle. A battle not against the powers of this world, that is flesh and blood, but against cosmic powers, over the present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, and that is Satan and his minions. And Satan's minions, they're not those cute little yellow things with the one eye in the middle of their foreheads. It's not what we're talking about here. But fallen angels themselves, who would scheme with thoughts in our hearts and minds and souls to cause us to really just spend our time, every minute, every hour, every day, focusing on the scratches, trying to convince us that since there are scratches on all sorts of aspects of our lives aren't good. Life isn't good. Creation isn't good. And most definitely, the Creator God Himself is not good. But these thoughts are nothing other than the schemes of the devil, who would that we develop false beliefs about God through the creation itself, that we would despair of the goodness of the creation and so the goodness of God himself. And as Luther notes in his small catechism of such ideas of such false belief and despair on our part, we should be nothing but ashamed and understand that what we're doing when we entertain such thoughts is nothing but some sort of vice, of wallowing in sin, of sitting around like those characters on Hee Haw years ago who used to sing, "Gloom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, agony on me." So what do we do? How do we fight against these cosmic forces that would have us see only evil when there is overwhelmingly good? We put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Holy Spirit of God. That is the Word of God. For it is there, in the Word of God, that we hear again and again and again of the goodness of God and his creation of God becoming man in Jesus Christ, comforting and healing and even raising people from the dead, of God and his love in the person of Jesus Christ, suffering and dying and rising again from the dead, so that we in our scratched and dented bodies would not only pass through death into life by means of faith in Christ, which our sins are daily forgiven, but daily in that forgiveness emerge from death to new life again and again and again. And that means so often that new life that we see the scratches and the dents in ourselves and others not as definitive, but as simply the sign that all eventually will be made perfect, absolutely perfect. But until that time, we can live in and rejoice in the wonder of the goodness of the creation of God. So, be good for us every once in a while when we doubt the goodness of God and of his creation to read through Psalm 104, Psalm 104, which reminds us of the reality, the goodness of the situation in which we truly live. "Bless the Lord, O my soul," we read there. "O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundation, so it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sunk down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they may not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it's night when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away, lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships, and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they're filled with good things. When you hide your face, they're dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they're created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. So Psalm 104, in our text again, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. That's Genesis 1:31. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and to life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing.